Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Thank you very much, Gary. And I just wanted to say before we get started, two new listeners, buddy of mine I used to work with in another life, another the corporate gulag, if you will. My buddy Sid, listening online in Austin, Texas, had to flee Michigan to
Sid Vicious.
Yeah, that's right. He had to get a job down there. And my cousin Matt, who's a young conservative, I think he's 27. He gives me hope for the future of America, CPA and entrepreneur.
What is it with these young guys named Matt being staunch conservatives? It's kind of a nice change.
And being so smart.
Yeah, that's what it takes. And of course, producing us today, Dan Martin.
Shemp Howard Broadcasting School graduate.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting show. Also in studio, young Zach Wellings. Say hi, Zach.
Hi.
There you go. We'll get a fresh perspective on some of this week's current events as well. So.
Additional credence that there's hope for America right there. That's Zach Wellings.
Sitting in with the iconic Drift Radio show crew. Really? Did you say that, Dan? Iconic.
Yeah, something along those lines. Yeah, I think that the opening was, I like that iconic music.
All right, we'll keep it.
Stand off.
We'll keep
classic 80s music. Yeah. I saw them in concert in Battle Creek back in, I think, 1984.
Yeah, it was 1834.
Really? Oh, The Fix, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I never saw them live. Would love to have seen them.
They started off in England as The Fix with one X, and then they ended up, when they came over here, they added the second X in their name.
That made them extra cool.
Yeah. They doubled it up, babe.
Yeah.
That's right.
Only thing that could be better would be three.
Ooh, triple X. Yeah. You know, the connotations alone are enough to keep us going. Well, let's take care of some business, shall we? Aishleman Equipment, 734-994-6000. Listen, if you're a farmer, if you're a gentleman farmer, if you're a hobby farmer, or just a landholder or landowner who needs to take care of some business, you're going to laugh.
Wait a minute, gentleman farmer. Now, my understanding of a gentleman farmer is a person that really does no farming. He just dresses up, looks like a fop, and walks around.
Mr. Douglas!
He tried. Oliver Douglas tried to farm. He was just a disastrous failure. The gentleman farmer is like, you know, in the 1700s, 1800s, walks around dressed up all fancy and says to his associates, farm this land while I go have some tea.
What are you making fun of George Thomas Jefferson? I was going to say George Jefferson. are you going to make fun of Thomas Jefferson?
I make a lot of fun of George Jefferson.
We're moving on up. That's right. All right, so let me finish, shall we?
We know that's never going to happen.
Okay. Located on 6 Mile Road, right off US 23, Aishleman Equipment. Been in business since 1971. Whether you are a farmer, gentleman farmer, hobby farmer, land owner, you need equipment to take care of your land. And some of the best new equipment on the market is Coyote and LS Tractor Line. The LS Tractor Line is part of the LG family. Now, we are all familiar with our LG phones and our LG televisions, which are good products.
Is that a Korean company?
I don't know what they are, but they're a good company. They make good stuff. I'm sorry, my LG phone and TV.
I'm just curious. I'm not passing judgment.
You're passing judgment, dude. I can see in your eyes.
I'm not poo-pooing.
Anyway, so Coyote and LS Tractors. And they've got some great deals, 0% financing on certain models. And this is the place you need to go. The Mark and crew up there at Aishleman on 6 Mile and US 23 have a lot of great equipment. And you can go to www.aishleman.com, and that's AESCHLIMAN.com. And they've got some of the greatest riding. I want to ride these lawnmowers, man. When I see them up there, I'm like, I've always wanted to get on one, and I feel like going in and saying, can I just ride one? No, they're really cool, and they're nice equipment. So stand-up decks, point-and-go joysticks, the whole nine yards, it's what you want. They even got some Bobcat dirt movers, but Bobcat lawnmowers, which are really cool. So 734-994-6000. Ask for Mark. Tell him you heard it here on The Drift, and get up there and get some equipment. I mean, if you got some snow removal to do this year, you might as well get a garden tractor or lawn tractor or something bigger like they have to move the snow. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I looked inside of my LG phone, and it does say made in Korea, but the battery says made in China. So, adding to the information that folks are receiving.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, you know, you mentioned Coyote. I saw one on Willis Road in Saline driving home from the station last week, about 30 yards in front of me, and it was the coolest thing. I've seen a few dead ones over the years, but this was like the first live one I've seen in a while. And they are everywhere, and I respect their ability to adapt and survive.
Yeah, well, they're coming back. It's like the turkeys, man.
Yeah.
The wild turkeys.
Thriving.
And the gentlemen farmers. And
the gentlemen farmers.
Yeah, if you want the turkeys and the coyotes, you got to keep them under control. Go get yourself a nice piece of equipment to keep them under control. You know, you can run them right over if you have to. Okay, anyways, well, we got through that. So the big news this week, of course, was the compromise reached by I don't even know if it's a compromise. It was the rolling over of the Republicans to Barack Obama and Harry Reid in the Senate and the Mitch McConnell fiasco.
The usual cliches apply. Another crap sandwich, another kicking the can down the road, kind of passing the buck to a certain degree. They all apply.
Yeah. For me, dude, this was a crap sandwich served in a dirty ashtray. You know what I mean?
In a dirty sock, too.
Yeah. This was, but you know what? It is what it is. You know, and we're going to get to some clips today from
the usual
the compromiser in chief or non-compromiser in chief himself. But you know, I want to start with the first thing that Mr. Obama. Can you hand me that paper? Real quick?
I certainly can.
Look, see, well, this is what we're doing today. It's just one of those days. We're all foobarred up in here.
Hot off the press.
Thank you, sir. Obama, after he signed the bill that got pummeled onto the Congress and they signed it and sent it back up to the Hill. He came out and had to, of course, do his little song and dance and scold the Republicans to say, you know, hey, don't shut the system down. Let's just go ahead and
take care of business. He made some comment, too, about, you know, let's not shut the government down, especially when there are things we can agree upon. Well, the Republicans were forwarding bills to him to fund certain departments and projects, if you will, that they could agree upon. And he said, no way, I'm not negotiating. It's all or nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the only hostage taker here was Barack Obama and Harry Reid. You know, they're the ones that did not want to look at anything. Mm-hmm. Right. So, Dan, do you have track one ready?
I am still trying to figure out how to open this Word document.
This is going to be one of those days. All right.
I'll have it pretty quickly because I've worked on Word on other but this is like Windows 8 or something crazy.
No, it's not. It's
Dan,
Windows 10.
Dan, are you trying to use Word Perfect or Lotus, DOS Lotus?
No. Just
Lotus Notes?
I don't even know what Lotus Notes is.
All right. Well, anyway, so we'll carry on our conversation. So he went on and basically what he was saying to the Republicans, you know, don't jimmy up the works and shut everything down, blaming the Republicans for the shutdown when the Republicans did their job. Okay,
Don't shut the government down, you jive turkeys.
Yeah, he's the one that shut it down because the Republicans passed first, let's rehash, a complete budget that funded everything but Obamacare.
Okay. Right.
All right. That was asking for the moon as far as anyone should be concerned. Okay, great. They came back and passed another continuing resolution that said, all right, let's just delay Obamacare for 1 year. Now, that's a huge compromise, right? From nothing to just delaying it for a year is a big compromise.
And going along with all the other departments and programs and everything else, they'll rubber stamp all that, but let's delay for 1 year your signature health care plan.
Yes, and let's face it. Barack Obama already delayed portions of it anyway.
It's going to be delayed anyway because the exchanges don't work.
And it's already delayed on technicalities, yes. So when that didn't even get voted on in the Senate, right? Harry Reid just turned it down and said, we're not even going to vote at it. Not negotiating. It's non-negotiable. Then people started hurting because the national parks were closed and monuments were closed. And then our veterans didn't get the death benefits for their families, those that died and gave their lives. And so the Republicans began passing appropriations one at a time for each of those items,
mm-hmm.
saying, listen, this is critical, right? Here we go. We passed it. And the Democrats in the Senate again said no.
Led by Obama.
Barack Obama, all he had to say at any point was, let's pass that. I'm the commander-in-chief. I disagree with what they're doing and how they're doing it, but this is something that needs to be passed. We should be doing this. Let's, Harry Reid, go ahead, put that to vote. Let's get that one done. I'll sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he said, no.
Okay. He said, nyet.
Nyet. Well, there's the total lack of leadership here. I mean, at what point could Barack Obama have said, listen, this is what I'd like to see. I'll compromise on this, this, and this. You know, give a little. He gave nothing.
Yeah, it was either lack of leadership or maybe more appropriately, poor leadership.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
By the.
Yeah. Or maybe it's great leadership and his agenda is to make things worse.
Well, and well, that too. And politically, as usual, the Democrats come out ahead because the polls showed that most people blamed Republicans. Right? So they win no matter what, politically and in the polls.
Right.
For the most part.
Yeah. Well,
it's a general statement.
The polls
but
are always going to be skewed because, you know, you've got a media that's skewing public opinion. So how do you get a fair shake out of a poll? You really don't.
And it's very easy for the media to influence our electorate because most of our electorate, as we know, in Matt Clark's show, when he plays those sound bites of he calls up somebody and he asks them very basic questions, and the moronic responses that he gets is a random sample of what is out there.
Right.
That may or may not be paying attention to the media.
Right.
So that's really scary.
Absolutely. Well, let's go into a break since it's 16 after or so. And when we come back, we will make an attempt to get a clip or two in and continue our discussion. See you on the other side.
It's time for America's Vital Signs with Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction.
In 2009, I was invited to be the keynote speaker for a congressional dinner in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol Building. My presentation was on health care reform and specifically my analysis of Obamacare. My conclusions were Obamacare would not increase the access to care, would not reduce costs, and would not lead to more quality-oriented care. In fact, my analysis revealed care would be rationed, costs would significantly increase, and quality of care would drastically decrease. My conclusions were based on the fact that Obamacare is based on the rationing of care and on punishing those not willing to go along with the system. This week it was announced, 4 years after my speech, that millions of Americans will lose their current insurance, cost of health care will go up close to 100%, and those not participating in Obamacare will be fined and punished by the Department of Health and Human Services, which has hired 86 criminal investigators to target consumers, providers, and companies that do not follow Obamacare's rules. Isn't hope and change great? Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, your weapon of mass instruction here exclusively on Wham Talk 1600.
This Freedom and Liberty message was made possible by the best-selling book, The Awakening of a Surgeon, written by Dr. Janda, a book featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show and The Glenn Beck Show. The book instructs you how to take control of your health and how to take back your healthcare freedom. Available online at Amazon.com and NoInjury.com. Get your copy today.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You've got a lot of choices when it comes to insurance, but let me help you narrow them down. Farm Bureau Insurance is the company committed to serving Michigan, and only Michigan, and meeting every insurance need you might have. Your Farm Bureau insurance agent protects your life, home, auto, farm, business, and retirement. When we say local, we mean local. Our agents live and work right in your community. So our service is always local and always personal.
Like the great service you'll get from Farm Bureau insurance agents Bill Heft in Ann Arbor and Richard Schneider in Ann Arbor.
The world may be an uncertain place, but your Farm Bureau insurance agent is here to bring you peace of mind and help you through the toughest times of your life. Think of all the things you're thankful for. Your family, your life, your home, your farm, your car, your business. Protect everything you're thankful for with the company that's thankful to be a part of your community.
Michigan, my Michigan.
Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Experience traditional Mexican food at Taqueria La Fiesta at home or at work. We serve traditional Mexican food, not Mexican-American and not Mexican-Californian. Our food is great because our authenticity makes a difference. We offer local deliveries within a 5-mile radius, so give us a call.
Taqueria La Fiesta, 4060 Packard Road in Ann Arbor. Give them a call, 734-477-9240. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 9. Sundays, 10 to 4. Closed on Mondays.
Experience traditional Mexican food and taste a difference at Taqueria La Fiesta.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. We were talking about Barack Hussein Obama and his scolder-in-chief, shall we call him, for ripping on basically the Republicans and putting all the blame on him.
I thought he was going to be a uniter, not a divider.
He's the divider in chief, dude, is what it is. That's what he does. Did we get that ready yet, Dan?
Yeah, it appears to work in Mozilla, copying it from that weird word, but it didn't work in IE.
You guys need to upgrade the equipment in that office there, I think.
I think we just need to drop IE. So my friend Jared says, get rid of Exploder.
Oh, yeah, Internet Explorer is the worst. Okay. Sorry, Bill Gates, if you're listening, don't turn off my computers and stuff. Let's run with that. Let's hear the words from the horse's mouth. You knew where I was going with that, didn't you? Let's run that.
We must need to stop focusing on the lobbyists and the bloggers and the talking heads on radio and the professional activists who profit from conflict and focus on what the majority of Americans sent us here to do. You don't like a particular policy or a particular president? Then argue for your position. Go out there and win an election. Push to change it. But don't break it. Don't break what our predecessors spent over two centuries building. That's not being faithful to what this country's about.
Okay, really?
I never heard so much double talk crapola in my life. I have, but this is the most recent.
That is, and the thing is, if you watch this and you go to thedailydrift.com and watch the video, he's got the most smug, nasty, pathetic look on his face.
It's smarmy.
It's smarmy. That's exactly right.
The translation of that is keep your mouth shut unless you agree with me.
Yes. It's exactly right. Because you know what? He does make a valid point, though. Win an election. You know what, America? This comes down on you, the voter. You voted him in again. Those of you who didn't vote for Romney because you thought he was a Mormon and wore the magic underwear.
I haven't heard that one.
No. We'll do that another day. But anyways, there were people who voted against or didn't vote for Romney because they didn't like his religion. That's ridiculous. I don't care what anybody says. That's ridiculous. There are people who didn't vote for him because he wasn't conservative enough. There's people who didn't vote for him because he wasn't moderate enough. And you know what? Those of you who didn't vote, you're as much to blame as those people who flat out voted for Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, and I know this is a totally different subject for another time, but in the next election, we're going to have a candidate that brings more to the table than just, okay, he's less bad than this guy.
Right.
Because that doesn't motivate the electorate that we're hoping will show up to the polls.
Yeah. I don't know that you get that, though.
Well, we have to. I mean, Ronald Reagan brought that charisma. The country was in a total, economic and collapse on many fronts. you know, the morale of the country was suffering. And then here comes this charismatic breath of fresh air. We need that again. I'm not saying a Ronald Reagan clone, but somebody you can actually believe in and want to go to battle for. And I'm sorry to say Mitt Romney, at least for me, didn't bring that. He was just the least bad guy.
Right.
That doesn't work anymore.
But you know, I understand completely. But if enough of us had said, I'm going to vote for the least bad guy anyways.
Oh, understood.
At least we wouldn't have what we are now.
Understood. You know? But that, I don't think that equation works anymore.
Well, the problem
especially
is,
with our stupid electorate.
I don't know that with the Republican Party in the state that it's in right now, we're going to get anything better, you know? So, I don't know. It's aggravating because when you hear the people talk, and I've heard people talking third party now from some of the strangest places that you never would have heard it before. But what third party are you going to get? Are you going to get the Tea Party even far to the right? Or are you going to get a moderate group of people?
Yeah.
Are we going to end up with four parties?
I don't know. It's very difficult to figure out what the best course of action is. And there's one school of thought that says, you know what, let's go with a third party and we'll get our butts kicked for the next 8, 12, 16 years. But it's a starting point. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, well, it's a shame that it's our fault. You know, it is our fault. It's yours and mine fault for not talking 10 friends into voting for Romney or whatever. But it's our fault. It's up to us. We're the ones that allowed this idiot to come in here and push his agenda, and he's still bullying the American people and bullying Congress. You know what? I'm so tired of him saying win an election. You know what? The Republicans did win an election. In 2010 and in 2012, they kept and retained the House, right?
Right.
And that's because the American people said the money, the part of Congress that is supposed to run the budget, we're giving it back to the Republicans who don't want Obamacare because we don't want Obamacare. We didn't want Obamacare when they signed it, you know? So we did win an election.
And the polls show, too, that most Americans are so confused about what Obamacare really is, and they just have their concerns about it, and that's all anyone really knows. They're scared.
Right, right. Let's take a call from Gene. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hello, gentlemen. Driving along on Interstate 94, listening. And, you know, I find it amazing that the part of the speech that you just put on and all the speeches that Barack Obama has given, it's like another man compared to the speeches we have heard when he was running for president the first time. Do you remember those speeches, how electrifying they were and everything? And to listen to that piece that you just, you know, put on just a few minutes ago was so pathetic that it's almost embarrassing. And I'm thinking, I'd like to run a theory by you. You remember how they said William Ayers was the ghostwriter for his books? Do you remember that?
Yep.
And I wonder, now, there was a speech that William Ayers had given at a college, and he admitted that he was the ghostwriter, but he did it in a jokingly way, and it wasn't a, you know, for sure thing. I would like to submit that possibly, and this is just a theory, that he was the guy on the other end of the teleprompters typing in all those wonderful things that Obama was saying on those teleprompters. And it sounded to me when Bill gave those speeches, he was a little ticked off because it sounded like he didn't get compensated. And I don't know, it's just a theory, but I think he quit. I think he quit that job, possibly, of being the guy on the other side of the teleprompter, and voila, you've got these terrible speeches. What do you think about that?
You know, that's a very good point. You know, whether it was Bill Ayers or somebody else, I would say the quality of and the charisma has gone down. Now, maybe it's just the fact that you can't shovel crap at somebody and not get beat up as much as he does and continue to be optimistic.
Maybe Bernadine Dorr has Bill Ayers all locked up in leather in some room and he can't get out.
The gimp. Yeah, I got it. Gene, great point. I appreciate the call. We're going to go into a break and see you on the other side.
Wham! Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham! Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham! Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham!
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Some same-sex couples in New Jersey getting ready to tie the knot Monday.
The state wanted same-sex marriages put on hold while appealing a judge's ruling that legalized them. But the New Jersey Supreme Court denies a delay, unanimously upholding the lower court order for gay marriages to begin October 21st.
Fox Radio's Lisa Brady, a second person arrested in connection with the dry ice bombs at Los Angeles International Airport. Police say he's the supervisor of the first suspect, a baggage handler.
A worker heard one dry ice bottle explode Sunday night in an employee bathroom. A different employee found a similar device that had exploded on the tarmac.
Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal. Police say they don't believe there's a connection to terrorism. And the entire population of a tiny town in Alberta, Canada has been evacuated after a tanker train carrying oil and gas derailed overnight. Emergency crews battling a massive fire. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
The Philippines Mission Task Force at First Presbyterian Church will host its annual pig roast dinner on November 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. Come and enjoy live music and delicious Filipino food. Tickets are $12 per person and $30 per family. The event will be held in the Church Social Hall at 1432 Washtenaw Avenue. To purchase tickets in advance, call 734-662-4466. All proceeds will benefit mission work in the Philippines. Dawn Farm presents a free presentation by internationally known intervention specialists and best-selling authors Jeff and Deborah Jay, authors of Love First, a new approach to intervention for alcoholism and drug addiction. Intervention will be held on Tuesday, November 19th from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. in the St. Joseph Mercy Hospital Education Center Auditorium, 5305 Elliott Drive in Ypsilanti. This is a free event and no registration is required. For more information, visit dawnfarm.org. At Home Support is an advanced illness management program operated by Hospice of Michigan and is currently serving more than 400 patients throughout Michigan. At Home Support is in immediate need of volunteers to provide care for patients with advanced chronic illness who are in the final 18 to 24 months of life. If you have a few hours to spare every week, you can make a real difference. Volunteers will be asked to attend a one-day training class and to donate 2 to 4 hours per week to provide patients with companionship, light housekeeping, personal care, feeding, and light meal preparation and errand running. To learn more, call 866-559-2299.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com.
This is David Morrison, Executive Vice President at PNC Business Banking, here to help you achieve more with today's small business tip. Managing risk is a part of being a successful small business owner, including risks to your cash flow. Look for banking solutions that can help mitigate risks to give you greater control in managing the cash flow of your business. See how our cash flow options have helped other businesses at pnc.com/CFO. PNC, for the achiever in you. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back to The Drift. Thank you for tuning in the studio with me, Brandon Drake.
Thank you.
Zach Wellings. Okay, so, Dan,
yes.
Let me take care of some business, and then we'll do some business, some dirty business we'll get into.
We'll get down to business.
Yes, our sponsor this half hour, Family and Aging Law Center in Milford, Michigan, 248-278-1511. Nicole Whipp is an attorney who specializes in elder law and VA law. And they do a series of workshops, which are really cool. The next one coming up is Wednesday, October 30th. Now, it's up in Commerce Township.
and it's from 10 a.m. to noon, and it's free. So you can get some really valuable information for free. They do wills and trusts. They do probate, nursing home issues, planning for death, and planning for death versus planning for life. Veterans improved pensions, cost of estate planning, cost of failing to plan. They do health care powers, powers of attorney, asset protection, Medicaid qualification, and protection from divorce and creditors. So it's a good family-oriented law firm. Nicole Whipp, again, 248-278-1511. Or you can go to their website, www.miestatelawyer.com. That's Family and Aging Law Center in Milford. Good people, very friendly. Pam, Terry, and Nicole run a great office up there. Nice people. So give them a call. Okay, so we were talking about that last clip that Obama played where he was kind of bashing on the Republicans, but there was something else I noticed in there, and I hope you did as well. He took a shot at bloggers and talking heads on talk radio. He didn't say talking heads on MSNBC, right? His buddies at MSNBC and the other GE-owned companies, they're fine. But you talking heads on radio.
Yeah, talk radio is conservative talk radio because any attempt at liberal talk radio in the past, i.e. Air America, the rest of them, have failed miserably.
Yeah.
Because
nobody
wants to listen to that crap.
That's right. What were you saying, Dan?
I said, no kidding.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of take that personal.
Well, and blogging, that is a way of communicating and expressing your free speech, your opinion. So,
that's my First Amendment right,
baby.
What
is he talking about?
Yeah. I think it's his way of taking a shot at it. So I think you should take it seriously. You know, are we now on the enemy's list? Is that next? You know, you're going to shove that down the Congress's throat too? You know, we're not going to negotiate until we get rid of the First Amendment.
Point taken.
It personally. You know, here I do radio show, you know. I could be elsewhere on a Saturday, but I come in and this is the way I choose to live my life.
It's a shot over our bow.
That's a put a shot across me. Bring it, Mr. President. Bring it. I'm ready. I'm not much of a basketball player. I was going to say, come on, I'll take you out on the basketball court, but I'm sure he'd clean my clock on the basketball court.
Well, as you're going up for a layup, he'd probably put a cigarette out in your eye.
I could probably smoke a cigarette faster than him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm not supposed to smoke. I don't. You know I don't. Zach's looking at me. I don't smoke. You know I don't. Come on, kid. Play with me, right?
Oh, you're in trouble with the missus now. He's going home to tell on you.
See,
the missus is listening. She knows I don't smoke.
I think Zach's been smoking all along. He's actually 22 years old, and he's only like 4'8".
Stunted his growth.
I always like that crust of the clown. Cigarette. Yeah, that's it. Right. So anyways, I think those of you who blog, and I think more of us need to be blog. If you don't have a blog, if you're not online or at least Facebooking, you're Facebooking now, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you're not Facebooking your views, you should be. Because, you know, that's the least you can do as an American citizen who is voting and who cares. You can affect 3, 4, 5 people in your immediate life area by Facebooking. Just common sense.
Not really. They just unfriend you and tell you how much they hate you because you're on the right.
Well, maybe if you're 16, that happens. I think those of us, I have liberal friends that I disagree with on Facebook all the time.
It happens to when you're 43.
Yeah, they sometimes chew me out. And
my sister-in-law unfriended me because I didn't like Obama.
Well, that's because you're a racist. You don't like him.
I was like, really? My sister-in-law unfriended me? Nice.
Yeah, well, he unfriended you. Well, let's, Dan, do you have track 2 ready to go?
Track 2 is ready to go. We've
okay, so let's listen to this, because this is where Obama went on, and now he's automatically, I've proven my one agenda, I'm going on to step 2.
So track 2 like number 2.
Yeah, let's listen to this.
Probably nothing has done more damage to America's credibility in the world, our standing with other countries, than the spectacle that we've seen these past several weeks. It's encouraged our enemies, it's emboldened our competitors, and it's depressed our friends who look to us for steady leadership. Let me be specific about 3 places where I believe we can make progress right now. First, in the coming days and weeks, we should sit down and pursue a balanced approach to a responsible budget. A budget that grows our economy faster and shrinks our long-term deficits further. Number 2, we should finish the job of fixing our broken immigration system. There's already a broad coalition across America that's behind this effort of comprehensive immigration reform, from business leaders to faith leaders to law enforcement. In fact, the Senate has already passed a bill with strong bipartisan support.
Yeah. Strong bipartisan support. Really?
I feel bulimic.
Yes, exactly. Well, let me take a call from Ken, who's been waiting patiently. Ken, welcome to the show. You got to talk about Romney real quick.
Ken's gone. The guy on line two is now Ed in Ypsilanti regarding the Facebooking.
Okay. Ed in Ypsilanti, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. Basically, I just heading out on Facebook today with a liberal high school classmate of mine from years ago. And, you know, I've had a lot of influence with his liberal friends. He lives in Pennsylvania now. And actually, a lot of them have applauded some of my arguments with him. And I know that it has a benefit. We need to get out and expose the truth to some of these people who just don't hear it because of the circles they run in.
Right. Right. And you, I think the secret, Ed, it does make a difference. The secret when you run across these crazy liberals is to say, you know what, I agree to disagree. I always take it right to them. I completely disagree with you, but I'll always respect your ability to give your opinion, even when I think you're a complete lunatic, you know, because you know what, you have to tell them that. I believe you have a right to say what you're saying, no matter how stupid I think it is, so don't take offense, but I don't believe it, but... Touche, you know. Hey. And if you approach it from that gentlemanly aspect, nobody can really get mad at you just because we have a difference of opinion, you know. Sometimes you have to remind each other about that because even I get a little passionate sometimes, you think?
Yeah. Hey, Ed, let me ask you this. In general, when you are in a debate online, whether it's Facebook or any other forum, do you find that with liberals, they quickly go the personal route and attack you personally pretty quick when you start making some valid points?
Well, in answering that, first I'd like to say I like to apply candor, intelligence, and goodwill. That's
nice.
One.
Good.
And two, I don't make personal attacks. Three, I got on it with my friend from high school. We were good friends in high school. And he keeps using the pejorative term for the Tea Party. I don't want to say it on the air.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
You know, and I told him, I says, look, you're calling me one of those. I wouldn't call you that name. And I went on for quite a few comments in the chain today about that. You know, I don't call you names. Don't call me names. And I don't resort to that. And on blogs I frequent, it's the same thing. Candor, intelligence, and goodwill. And I've stuck up for a few liberals when they've been attacked personally by conservatives. But by the same rights, when they come to my blog and comment, I demand that candor, intelligence, and goodwill. And we have the argument on our side. We have the facts. You know, we have the correct side. They have to go off on tangents. I just prefer they don't go ad hominem.
Right.
They go off on their tangents, their talking points, and they do, and it's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall or herd cats. It's like the argument constantly shifts because they can't answer your argument or your point. So they have to go somewhere else and throw something else up. It's like, will you stick to the point, dude?
Right.
That's how it goes.
I have found from my own personal experience, and I don't do it so much anymore, but when I used to debate online, and this is usually with strangers and all over the country and all over the world for that fact, two things usually happened. One, they would start attacking me personally, or two, they could never stick to the point and they would go off on all these other weird, or I should say, and number three, I found myself to a certain degree educating them, not debating with them. I would bring up certain facts, and they're unaware of that.
Right.
And so you don't find yourself debating and trying to learn something from them. It's pretty much more you find yourself trying to educate them, and it goes in one ear and right out the other, and they just go right back to their MO.
Yeah.
I do see that with strangers at comment sites like Salon or Fox News or places like that, you know, which I don't get into that much because that really does become just flinging feces back and forth.
Yeah, it's an energy drain. You
but
get
when
nowhere.
It's somebody you know, when it's somebody you know or people that know people that you know, and you insist on the, you know, hey, we're going to be back talking to each other. It's not like I'm never going to see you again, and we don't have to be enemies. We just need to talk. It works out pretty well for me.
Right.
And I will say, I have had quite a lot of influence on family members, nieces and nephews. It has worked, and they start reposting stuff that I put up, and I see it happen. I go, hey, they've caught on. It took a year, but they've caught on.
Yeah.
And now the thing is, they reach their circle of friends, which is a younger circle of friends, much more than mine.
Right,
and so
that's
it
the important
does have
part
that
of it. You know,
effect.
Yeah, as long as you put in those links and stuff, that's what makes it work. It really does. Ed, thanks for the call. Let's grab Ann.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, take care. Well, let's talk to Ann on line 3, who's been waiting patiently. Ann, welcome to the show. Sorry it took so long.
No problem. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's I love talking with people, exchanging views. But when it gets to be a text, it's so boring. I think we should collect the insults and cheer for the best insults. At least they're creative. My point is on Obamacare. I have a question, and I'm looking for an answer. Governor Snyder brought in Sebelius. The squishy Republicans voted in Medicaid expansion in Michigan. But this is my question regarding medical exchanges. If the I heard yesterday that Michigan hasn't signed up one person on the Obamacare exchange. If it's a federal Obamacare exchange, there's no penalty on Michigan businesses. But if the Michigan Democrats and Republicans voted in a Michigan medical exchange, Ken Cuccinelli, the Attorney General who fought this before the Supreme Court, said that businesses will suffer a $3,000 to $5,000. What do you call it? I think for every employee, a fine, if it's a medical exchange that the states bring in. So my question is this. In Michigan, do we have state exchanges, or is it the federal Obamacare exchanges?
We have the federal Obamacare exchange.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no Michigan exchange. We're one of the 36 states, I believe. I think there's 36 in total that has gone with the federal exchange because we didn't build our own exchange.
Yeah. I'm not sure, so I'm not jumping in. I'm going to let you handle that one.
Yeah, no, there's no Michigan-built exchange. We're part of the
I think you're right.
Healthcare.gov.
If we're not, call in and let us know. Great question, Ann. Great
yeah,
question.
Yeah, I knew it was being talked about, and I think it got settled. It stayed in committee. It didn't get put out. But that was because people fought against it. They were trying to bring it in.
Right. The Republicans said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to build one here.
Right.
And then the feds had to take over. And we all know how well that worked out. I've seen where maybe 20,000 people nationwide have signed up, and it goes up to maybe, 56,000, 36,000? Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of little estimates right now. But certainly under 100,000 people so far have signed up effectively for Obamacare. And they need like 7 million. That's the goal, I believe. 7 million. So that's a very small percentage that is actually signed up. And it sounds like it could be months and months before the glitches on the IT technical side are worked out. They said this thing was so botched, so mishandled, and it's so over budget, and we're nowhere close to being where we need to be to have it work from a technical standpoint.
Right.
Do you have time for another question?
Sure, go ahead.
The next fight, and in Michigan I think it will be too, is Governor Snyder trying to bring in immigration to bring in to make that, illegal immigrants, give them more rights and everything in Michigan?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. The Washtenaw County is looking to give Washtenaw County ID cards to illegal immigrants. You know about that one, right?
Yes.
And, of course, isn't the University of Michigan going to grant in-state tuition rates to illegal aliens? I mean, that's already a done deal, right?
Yeah.
I never understood that. I mean, where is the sense in granting an incentive to be an illegal alien, to be breaking the law with financial benefits to incentivize you to do so?
Yeah.
what is this bizarro world?
Well, this is bizarro world. This is just one of those things that goes on and on. Great questions, Ann. I'm so glad you called in.
Thanks, Ann.
Thank you. Thanks.
So, Dan, do we have time to take your break now? Okay, we're going to wait.
Yeah, no breaks.
No breaks.
We don't need no stinking breaks.
734-822-1600. Call in. Love to get your calls on anything that we're talking about today or something you're not. And
Here's the thing. We're talking about Obama and the House and the Senate, and it's my opinion, that It's going to take a miracle before this country is politically unified to do the right thing before it's too late and it's forced upon us. And I'm talking mainly about the debt. Crossed over $17 trillion, right? We're talking before we went on the air. What was it, $398 billion you mentioned?
$398 billion, yeah.
We had a deficit on the one. Okay, yeah. So I'm just saying that we are on a path of financial oblivion, and I don't see anything that's going to stop it until we get into a situation where we are crushed and the choice will be taken away from us because the money won't be there.
Right. Now let's back step a little bit there before we jumped into that. So a lot of people who may watch the national debt clock or may not watch the national debt clock, right? I do.
It's ticking again, baby.
It's ticking, right, because it's been at like 16.8 or 9 for the last 3 or 4 months, right? It's not, and there's been a few articles about, hey, how come the deficit's not really going up? I don't know what funny games the Obama administration and the Treasury Department have been playing, but it wasn't going up, right? As soon as this deal was done, the Mitch McConnell Kentucky kickback, the whole nine yards got squared away, Congress passed it and Obama signed it. Record-breaking deficit spending yesterday to the tune of $398 billion. Zach, do you know how much $398 billion is?
It's just slightly more than his allowance.
A lot, yes. Way more than you, I will ever see in our lifetimes, that's for sure. And why?
The retroactive pay of those 800,000 furloughed workers that were those poor people. Man, they got that nice little bonus check.
That 2 weeks of fully paid time off.
Being paid.
All put together in one giant paycheck. You think these people are going to appreciate this next paycheck they get?
They're being paid. They were paid for doing even less than they normally do when they show up to the office.
Yes, absolutely. So, I didn't see it anywhere in the mainstream media. I picked it up on Drudge this morning. $17 trillion. We passed that $17 trillion mark. When it was $16 trillion, ooh, everybody was talking about it. We just hit $17 trillion deficit, and not one word on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC. I didn't watch Fox this morning, but I don't know that they didn't. But I'm guessing it's not a big story. Nobody's talking about hitting that $17 trillion mark.
And the debt limit has been raised again until what, February 15th, February 7th? I can't remember. I know the budget is in January, through January sometime. But we'll have this whole mess again, and we'll just keep kicking that can. It seems like we're kicking the can in shorter increments, but that is the policy going forward forever.
Right. Let's take a call from John in Farmington Hills. John, go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's been a while.
Yes, yes.
I got a question and a comment on the recent power grab by the president on the purse from the House. The question is, I heard he's raised 300 and some odd billion above the $17 trillion debt limit already, and if he did way worse major damage, like he wants to spend the kind of money he's spending here, I'm willing to bet, abroad, you know, to help other countries, and nobody can really stop him, and he can try to borrow and get us further in debt. If it gets to that point, and you fellas, where he talks against you earlier in your broadcast, he said he demonized radio people, you know, the talking heads, can we beat the drum through the radio programs to let people know if it goes further than what he's doing, it could be the total demise of the United States of America?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, I was talking about this with some people at work the other day. I'm like, you know what? Maybe the agenda is to spend every single dime that we don't have. Maybe the agenda from Obama is to spend every dime the world has so that everything implodes and they can come up with something new. You know, does he want us to be the giant parasitic tumor of the world? That's what he's making the United States out to be. By spending this kind of money, we are becoming a tumor on the world. Now, I know a lot of countries in the world think we already are, you know? But that's what they're doing. It's not us, the American taxpayer, that's spending it. It's Barack Obama's giant federal tumorous government that is sucking the life out of the world now. Not just us as American taxpayers. They're now sucking money out of China and Saudi Arabia. That's the amazing thing. He can just keep spending not only our money, but the world's money.
Well, I don't know so much if he can, you know, single-handedly take China's money. They're willing partners in this to fund this. to a certain extent. How long will China and Japan, that's another major creditor, how long will they continue to do this before the risks get to the point where they say enough is enough? And then our interest rates start spiking. And then the compounding effect of paying the interest, once you get into that spiral, then you can't get out of it.
Right.
Now you start printing more money, and then you have the inflation risk. I mean, we're on a path, like I keep saying, and I don't even know, you know what? I don't know if it matters what president we get at this point. We are so far down this path that it's going to take a crisis to get us out of it.
Right. Great
call.
Here's
my comment.
Go ahead.
The comment is the president, China's already stated that they want to stop the United States dollar because of what you guys just got done saying. And also, on another great radio show that's like your guys' conservative, the Levin show last night, he cited and played a clip of Obama when he was younger stating this, what he would get the Americans to capitulate and all this, you know, through his double talk and rhetoric. You guys would look on last night's show and find that. You need to play that clip. It's very short, but it's Obama, and he's younger. You can hear his voice has changed, but it's scary when you hear it. It's the total straight out of Saul Alinsky,
right.
Rules for Radicals.
Great call, Ken or John. Appreciate it. And I got to get to one other call, so we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, John.
Ken, welcome to the show. Sorry we lost you earlier.
I just want to quickly comment that a mistake I see that's being made regarding trying to win many conservative Christians as far as getting our vote is not listening to us as far as who we can vote for. Now, before the election, I had stressed that being a Christian, I'm a Trinitarian, and I can only vote for those who are like-minded. What did the Republicans do? They ignored us, and they gave us a person we can't vote for. And the same thing goes now with, I keep hearing them trying to put libertarians together with conservatives. Well, wait a minute, here we go again. As a conservative Christian, you put a libertarian up there who typically they believe in abortion or they believe in allowing drugs like marijuana to be legalized, well, we can't vote for them.
Right.
And so I want to be able to vote for a Republican candidate. I really do. But Republicans, like their current behavior, they keep doing everything they can to make sure that conservative Christians like me can't vote for them.
Right. Well, you make a valid point, Kev, because you know what? And unfortunately for the Republican Party, I don't think we're going to be able to get one big tent that can encompass everybody, because I don't think you can take a libertarian and a Christian conservative and come up with a candidate that can please both of those parties. I think you hit a good question there. I mean, does that mean we're going to have multiple parties at some point? You know,
well, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's the future of America, like it or not. The Democrats and Republicans can say whatever they want, but we will have multiple parties at some point down the road.
That's why I voted for the Constitution Party candidate.
There you go.
Baptist.
Yeah.
It's almost like de facto multiple parties because a lot of people stay at home. That, in a way, is voting with your feet. You stay at home.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ken. Appreciate the call.
Take care.
All right. Zach, thanks for coming in today. Any last words?
You're welcome.
All right. Well, that was a good word. Thank you. Brandon, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Dan, thanks for filling in.
Live long and prosper.
Live long.
Till next week.
Till next week. We'll see you then.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
WAAM Ann Arbor. Our First Amendment at work. Real public radio. Unbiased. Open and honest discussion.
24 hours a day.
Wham Radio.
Wham. Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Still no end in sight for a strike against San Francisco's Bay Area Rapid Transit System.
We're calling on union leaders to return to the bargaining table and to bargain in a way that considers all of the issues as a whole.
BART spokesman Jim Allison, union leaders asking for a total 15.9% pay increase. No change also to longtime work rules. No word when negotiations may start up again. About 400,000 commuters in the San Francisco Bay Area using BART on an average workday. A magnitude 6.8 earthquake striking off the western coast of Mexico earlier today. About 56 miles southwest of the Hutabombo in Sonora State. The quake hitting at a depth of 6.2 miles. In the Gulf of California. President Obama in his weekly address calling for a more civil tone in Washington, coming off the partial government shutdown and a near debt limit default.
We won't suddenly agree on everything now that the cloud of crisis has passed, but we shouldn't hold back on places where we do agree, just because we don't think it's good politics, or just because the extremes in our parties don't like compromise.
The Republican response centering again on the Affordable Care Act.
Our citizens should be able to choose the health care providers who they believe will provide the best care for their needs. And we shouldn't have to make our health care decisions with 16,000 IRS agents looming as the Obamacare enforcers.
Virginia Attorney General and GOP gubernatorial candidate Ken Cuccinelli. Another so-called sea serpent attracting a lot of gawkers on a Southern California beach. This time it's a rare snake-like oarfish washing up in Oceanside, California, measuring nearly 14 feet long. It's the second time of the past week a deep-water fish has surfaced in that area. Last weekend, a snorkeler found an 18-foot-long oarfish off of Catalina Island. Experts say they can grow to more than 50 feet. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
There's more to Fox News Radio than meets the ear. Go behind the headlines and join the conversation on the hottest stories of the day on the Fox News Radio Facebook page. Be a part of the Fox News Radio Facebook fan community. Post comments and tell us your opinions. See behind-the-scenes photos and videos and post your reactions to the stories that matter to you. Click the like button on Facebook and connect with breaking news and features like Fox in the Fast Lane, House Call for Help, and more. Go to Facebook.com/Fox News Radio.
Weeknights, we're busting out a brand new lineup. First, market fraud, government abuse, corruption. At 5, nothing's off limits on money with Melissa Francis. Then, from bloated bank fees to consumer scams. At 6, Jerry's exposing the issues impacting your wallet. Plus, get smart market insight and trusted analysis you won't find anywhere else. At 7, Lou Dobbs is all business. And the first and last name in business, Cavuto. Shedding light on the biggest stories making headlines at 8. Only on the Fox Business Network, giving you the power to prosper.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to welcome King's Keyboard House as a sponsor of this program. Located at 2363 East Stadium Boulevard, across the street from Trader Joe's, King's Keyboard House has been keeping Ann Arbor in tune since 1961. When you enter King's, you're warmly greeted.